Big O, let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
307 yards, four touchdowns, and an 85% completion rate. Those are the numbers for Bo Nix. 173 yards, a pick, and a 68% completion rate. Those are the numbers for Kirk Cousins. Big difference, and his head coach, Sean Payton, was talking about Bo Nix belonging.
He certainly settled in our third down red zone. I mean, there were a lot of things he did really well tonight. It's clear he belongs here.
Yeah, Mike, I had my doubts. I'll say this. I still think Jayden Daniels has the edge, but you can't deny what this kid is doing over the last 6 or 7 weeks.
No, man, he's looking better and better. And, like, Sean Payton is a really good offensive coach. I have to remind Falcon fans of that. And, you know, we win the coin toss. We defer. They take it right down the field, march it right down the field on us and score.
Boom.
We get it back. We got the ball at the 15 and then the 10-yard line. Second and five from the 10. And then, whoops! Then we go backwards. We had the Drake London penalty for illegal motion. Then we had another penalty. I mean, it just all hell breaks loose. And then you go backwards. And then as Kirk Cousins told us last week after the loss of the Saints, you can't be settling for field goal attempts. Now, the good news is Younghoe Koo made two long attempts. That's
Thank
good.
God.
But so we're hopefully out of the woods with that. But our only chance of putting six on the board happened in the first series. And then after that, it was all garbage.
It was garbage. I'll tell you what wasn't garbage. Is watching the dogs' resiliency and how they were able to fight back and then take total control of this game on Saturday night.
Story number two.
Dogs win, and they win big, guys. They are now 8-2, 6-2 in the SEC. Their SEC play, or at least their schedule part of the SEC, is over. Now they'll play UMass, they'll play Georgia Tech, and we'll see where the chips fall when it comes to the College Football Playoff Committee. But, Mike, they finally got the tight ends involved. And I think you've been talking about it. Randy Mack's been talking about it. And give credit where credit's due. Carson Beck has caught a lot of heat, especially on this show. Listen, we don't baby anybody.
Right.
And for Beck to stand up in that moment and play as well as he did, I thought it was a big step for him. Again, we keep talking about it. Is he going to build on it? He can't take another step back, Mike, after this performance on Saturday.
He was really good. Frazier was good. Held on to the rock. You know, Carson Beck was able to move, by the way. You know, that's the thing. You know, I've always talked about his ability to pick him up and put him down. He can do that, too. But he made great decisions. Now, he threw the ball a lot. I think 40, if I told you he was going to throw it 40 times, you'd have said, uh-oh.
It's a lot.
That's been playing some comeback. And that first drive for Tennessee, man, Tennessee's up 10-0, but Georgia doesn't flinch. They don't blink. And then Kirby and company make some adjustments. Certainly, you know, it's funny because we're all going back and forth in some of the texts, you know, between Oren and you and I and Chris was like, maybe Schumann's got some things to explain. And then Georgia tightened it up.
They did.
You know, and they responded. And then Tennessee, you saw them just kind of wilt after that last score.
Kirby talking about his secondary because they played a big part in shutting down Tennessee.
I was really proud of the secondary because you're in some really tough cover environments out there and like on space. And some of it they helped us. I think they dropped some balls that were like bang-bang plays. But they didn't get behind us. And that's the big achievement.
I agree. They didn't give up any explosive plays. You know what else happened? Beck didn't throw any picks. It helps, doesn't it?
Right.
When you don't throw interceptions, you don't put your team in a bad spot. That's another reason why this performance was so good.
That's the best he's looked throwing the football, you know, at times, you know, other than, you know, when he wasn't throwing interceptions against Bama and the comeback against Bama. That's the best he's looked. He was, I mean, threading the needle to the tight ends. You know, you talked about it. Danny Cannell talked about it. I mean, he showed you why we thought he'd be a Heisman Trophy finalist to start the season in this game.
He was asked about the wide receivers dropping the ball and who freaked out after the first play. Perfect call. You know what? Everybody's right. Worried about us throwing the ball down the field. Our receivers aren't catching the ball. Go ahead and let's take a shot. And I'll be damned. He drops a dime, a dot, right into the hands of Arian, and he drops it. Carson Beck was asked about those drops.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the game. What can I do about that, right? They're going to continue to practice. I'm going to continue to have faith and confidence in them. I'm going to continue to throw the ball to them. I have to. You know what I'm saying? So, and they have so much talent. And I think as time goes, you know, and we start to really roll in this thing, like, I mean, they're going to make plays. They made plays tonight, you know. It's not always going to look perfect. They're not going to make every single play. And some of it is my fault on ball placement and stuff like that. But, nah, man, I have so much belief in them. And I really think that, you know, it's really about to start exploding for them.
That's team concept. That's buying in. That's not throwing your teammates under the bus. You know, but you're right, man. Arian Smith, that's why, you know, at the end of the day, you may get drafted in the NFL. You may not. I mean, you may be like a sixth or seventh rounder. Those are plays you've got to make. You've got to help your quarterback out. Now, he did finish with 50 yards receiving, but the big story was Oscar Delp, who was highly recruited, highly touted, Lawson Lucky. Those guys, the tight ends making big plays, and again, more importantly, pay dirt in the end zone.
Yeah, dogs win. We're going to talk to our buddy Connor Riley coming up a little bit later on, 4 o'clock, get his thoughts on not only this game, but all the things that went down. And as far as Tennessee, and Mike, I said this to you on Friday, better coach. Kirby's a better coach, guys. Josh Heupel's really good. He's got Tennessee moving in the right direction. Kirby is a better coach. And then you go get into these moments, you better have a coach that's been there. It's why we believed in Saban all those years when he played in these big games. And you go, Saban doesn't lose these games. Neither is Kirby. When his team needs to respond, Mike, he steps up.
Right. And again, maybe if Iamaleava gets a little bit more consistent, gets better, because they don't blow a 10-point lead. It was 17-17 at halftime, but you felt the momentum had shifted. And then, you know, Georgia, you talked about it. The things that when it's clicking, this is what you need. But the first things first, you said it. If Carson Beck doesn't throw picks, you beat Alabama. You know, you're not worried about this. You are talking about playing in the SEC championship. Well, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
And you escaped the Texas game with those same turnovers.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. What would the Texas score have been if those turnovers didn't happen? So that's how you have to look at this. If he continues to play that way, they're going to be in good shape. Hawks lose last night, and they were up. I know it was on the West Coast. It was Portland. And we were all football, you know, oriented. But the bottom line is they should have won this game. And they lose by 4, 114-110. This was the moment where Trey puts the Hawks up, Mike, and you go, oh, well, maybe they're going to win this game.
Story number 3.
Trey gets it into Onyeka. Back to Trey. He's going to break in and lay it up and in. So that's what they did. They took the two-pointer.
That's our man, Steve Holman. Bang, out there on the West Coast in Portland. I watched the game this morning because I was just doing the fast-forward routine. Yeah. They blew a 10-point lead with about 7 to go in the third quarter. This is one of those games that you let slip away because you said it. Portland is no better, no worse than D.C., no worse than the Wiz. You got to win this game, man. So all the goodwill, first day of the road trip, you're in a great position. You look like you're in control in the first half and you blew it.
Kings tonight, let's hear the last play because they did have a chance to win. They call a timeout. They get the ball inbounds to Trey. It's up to him to make the play, and I think they were trying to get Dyson Daniels on a back cut. They turn it over.
Trey has got it. Portland can't foul. Trey dribbles it across. Trey fakes. Goes underneath and it's stolen. And there's a foul. Well, that's the game. 1.3 left. So your final score from Portland, the Blazers 114 and the Hawks 110.
Tough loss.
It was. Kings tonight and then I think Wednesday, Mike, it is Golden State. So that's this West Coast road trip for the Hawks.